Welcome to the Nonviolent Jesus Podcast. I'm John, Father John Deere, and today I'm speaking with my friend Marie Dennis, author, activist, and longtime leader with Pax Christi and director of the Catholic Nonviolence Initiative. This podcast is a project of www.beatitudecenter.org, where you can find many other podcasts and regular Zoom programs on the nonviolence of Jesus and practicing nonviolence and working for a more just, more nonviolent world. So let's begin with a little two-second prayer. So I invite everyone listening to just take a deep breath wherever you are and just to relax and recenter yourself. And let's enter once again into the presence of the God of peace who loves you infinitely, personally, and loves everyone. And let's welcome the nonviolent Jesus here with us and ask for the grace to follow the nonviolent Jesus more faithfully and do God's will. God of peace, thank you for all the blessings of life and love and peace that you give us. Be with us now as we reflect on the nonviolence of Jesus and the need to put it back front and center in the church and how we can help do that. Bless us, inspire us, disarm us, strengthen us, and send us out to do your will and proclaim your way of peace, love, and nonviolence, that we might help you end war and poverty and violence and racism and corporate greed and oligarchy and nuclear weapons and environmental destruction, and be your holy beatitude people of universal love, universal compassion, and universal peace. In Jesus' name, amen. So, dear friends, welcome again. It's my pleasure to welcome today my friend Marie Dennis to reflect with us on her great work. I'm calling this Moving the Church Back to Gospel Nonviolence. Marie, as I said, is a longtime activist, author, and longtime leader of Pax Christi International, the official Catholic peace movement, and the Catholic Nonviolence Initiative. And you can read more about her work at paxchristi.net. She served as co-president of Pax Christi International from 2007 to 2019 and was given the Pax Christi USA Teacher of Peace Award in 2022. Marie worked for the Maranol Missioners from 1989 to 2012, including 15 years as director of the Maranol Office for Global Concerns. She's author or co-author of 7 books and editor of a book I really recommend, Choosing Peace, The Catholic Church Returns to Gospel Nonviolence, and co-editor of Advancing Nonviolence in the Church and the World. Marie was the main organizer, in my opinion, of 3 great historic conferences on nonviolence and just peace that were co-sponsored by the Vatican and Pax Christi. She served on the Vatican's COVID-19 Commission and was the National Catholic Reporter's Person of the Year in 2016. She's a laywoman, a secular Franciscan, a mother of 6, a grandmother of 9, and a member of the great Assisi community in Washington, D.C. So a big warm welcome, Marie. Good morning.
Thank you, John. Nice to be with you.
Good. I thought it might be best if you wouldn't mind starting by just giving us a general overview of your work to promote gospel nonviolence at the Vatican with the Catholic Nonviolence Initiative and the Global Church and Pope Francis from that initial historic April 2016 conference up to now.
All right, I'll see if I can.
Yeah, I know that's a big question.
A little short. So as John said, in 2016, we hosted a landmark conference with the Vatican, the Pontifical Council for Justice and Peace. The conference was in Rome, and it was focused on nonviolence and just peace. About 80 people came to that conference from around the world. Many of them were grassroots activists, people who were living in zones of very serious, violent conflict. And we came together to ask, what is the role, what can be the role of nonviolence in this broken world in which we live? At the end of the conference, we issued an appeal to the Catholic Church to recommit to the centrality of gospel nonviolence, particularly because what we heard from activists around the world living in war zones and situations of conflict was that nonviolence is the only way forward. So we began then a program of Pax Christi International called the Catholic Nonviolence Initiative. And since then, the goal of the Catholic Nonviolence Initiative is to move nonviolence to the center of Catholic teaching on violence and war. And we have been doing that in many different ways. We have found ways quite often to cooperate with the Vatican, particularly with the Dicastery for Integral Human Development, but also with the Holy See Secretary of State and some other parts of the Vatican. And we've been reaching out to every sector of the church, Catholic universities, religious communities, dioceses, parishes, some international Catholic organizations, to try to generate a new conversation about violence and nonviolence. Over these last almost 10 years, we had the three conferences that John mentioned. We hosted five major roundtables that were virtual roundtables even before we learned how to use Zoom. They included overall about 120 grassroots activists, theologians, researchers, experts, who dug more deeply into five major themes. What would a theology of nonviolence look like now? What is the best scriptural exegesis on nonviolence? If we moved the just war tradition to the side, what could replace it in terms of providing ethical and moral guidance in the world? How could the church contribute to this? And what are some really good, deep case studies of examples where nonviolence has been used? We finished those in 2018. They were the basis for the book that John mentioned on advancing nonviolence. And since then, we've had regional roundtables where but the consistent effort has been to bring together grassroots activists, researchers who are looking at the impact of nonviolence, and theologians and scripture scholars who can help us remember that nonviolence is at the heart of the gospel. And so our effort has been consistent over these years, and we've been bringing it into different sectors of the church with a really pretty remarkable positive response.
Wow, Marie, that's so exciting to hear you put it like that. So, you know, and from my perspective, Marie and her colleagues, our friends, have really changed a lot at the Vatican. You know, like after all these years, there's a real openness now to gospel nonviolence, not just with Pope Francis, but in many different corridors, and also in the church around the world, not in the United States, but around the world. So would you agree with that, Marie? I'm just asking that off the top of my head. And mm-hmm. also, if people want to hear exactly more about this, again, it's under Catholic Nonviolence Initiative at paxchristi.net. Is that correct? I mean, tell people
That's
how
right.
they can get involved.
Yeah. I completely agree with you, John. I think we've been delighted at how much of a positive response this effort has received, yes, at the Vatican, but also in different parts of the church worldwide. I think that it reflects the reality of the world that we live in now, where we are looking at a world that is just overwhelmed with violence, with war, but also with street violence and local violence and the violence of deep injustice and on and on. And people are hungry for a change. So it has been really encouraging. Right after our 2016 conference, the first World Day of Peace message that Pope Francis wrote was in 2017, and it was on nonviolence, a style of politics for peace. And it's actually a remarkable summary of active nonviolence. We've had lots of interest from Catholic universities in different parts of the world, including in the United States, many different conferences and panels. One of the most interesting for me was a panel at San Diego University where a small group representing the Catholic Nonviolence Initiative was invited to a dialogue, a conversation with ethicists from the U.S. military academies, West Point and Annapolis and the Air Force Academy and so on. Others have been looking for ways to incorporate into their university programs training hubs so that students and faculty and staff and neighbors even could begin to learn how to apply nonviolence in very practical ways. It's been interesting to see at the Vatican level that slowly over the years, we've begun to have deeper conversations. For example, within the Secretary of State, where they're looking for ways to back up, if you will, the very visionary and prophetic statements that Pope Francis makes about war and peace. He's been pleading for ceasefires in Ukraine and in the Middle East and on and on. And the Secretary of State is open to hearing practical proposals for other directions in which we might go. So we've been pretty encouraged. There's been a much more lively conversation among moral theologians about violence and nonviolence, about the just war tradition and pacifism and so on. We think that if our goal was only to open up a conversation, that that's certainly happening. Now we want to see nonviolence really move to the center of Catholic Church teaching.
It's so exciting, especially when, I'm going to put it this way, after all we were taught by Mahatma Gandhi and Dorothy Day and Martin Luther King, let's say, as three historic teachers of nonviolence, what Marie is talking about, friends, is the first time, really, the Catholic Church ever started grappling with nonviolence, with the word even, in 2016. Mm-hmm. Pope John the 23rd never mentions it. Vatican II doesn't talk about it. So let me ask you then, about what's happening now in the next phase. You know, Marie, we went to Rome in 2016. We were hoping for an encyclical, and we were asking Pope Francis for an encyclical on nonviolence. What we got almost immediately, as you said, was this brilliant and great January 1st, New Year's Day, statement on nonviolence, which I hope everyone will go back and read January 1st, 2017. Where are you going next, and what do you think about ever getting an encyclical on? I want him to write one on Jesus and nonviolence.
Well, we keep asking.
We do? Do what, you? Have you been?
Oh, sure, all the time. But we also, part of the journey has been to learn how the Vatican and the Church worldwide works.
Well,
and
God bless you, Marie Dennis.
We're still working on that. But we have been encouraging ultimately Pope Francis, but the Vatican people around Pope Francis to recognize what would be the huge contribution of an official teaching on nonviolence that was more developed than the World Day of Peace message, which is really good. But there's just so much that can be written about nonviolence, gospel nonviolence, and it would set the stage for a movement in the church to help support a movement in the church in really important ways. We did, there's some discussion about after as we got into this conversation, of course, Pope Francis wrote Fratelli Tutti. And some would say, well, that was an encyclical on nonviolence. And we think Fratelli Tutti is a wonderful encyclical, and it is about a vision of a world in which we would live in a completely different way, which of course does speak about how we might move toward nonviolence. In the Fratelli Tutti, Pope Francis very specifically said, we can no longer think of war as a solution because its risks will probably always be greater than its supposed benefits. In view of this, it is very difficult nowadays to invoke the rational criteria elaborated in earlier centuries to speak of the possibility of just war. Never again war. He came very close to, at least he was saying, I think, we're going to move this just war tradition to a back shelf. And we need to move nonviolence into the center of the conversation. So we think that both at the level of official teaching, there has been movement, but even more so at the level of conversation and stirring an imagination that would enable us to think in new ways. Pope Francis does it himself all the time. He does it in his actions. His trip to the Central African Republic in the middle of the war, serious conflict between Christians and the Muslims there, was visionary. It was beautiful. It was effective. His trip to Sudan and to the region that was struggling with violence there, when they came to the Vatican, the leaders of South Sudan were there to listen to him plead for peace. And at one point, he got down on his knees and kissed their feet. It was an incredibly powerful statement. And I think he has the vision. And now the challenge is, can we encourage the church to put in words the depth of understanding of nonviolence that I think we are all beginning to appreciate? Nonviolence as a spirituality and a way of life, nonviolence as a potentially as a global ethic, nonviolence as an effective set of tools for accomplishing a more just and peaceful world, and on and on. I think we're still hopeful that we'll get that encyclical someday.
You know, we've learned so much going to Rome about what Pope Francis has done that just really is ignored here. So many spectacular acts, especially that time he knelt down and kissed the feet of the rebel leaders and the president of waging war. I mean, it was beyond St. Francis. And it's completely ignored. And so two things specifically. Say a little bit more about the just war theory. Now, for example, in 2016, in the appeal statement, which I hope folks will look up on Marie's website, paxchristi.net, which was sponsored by the Vatican. So Pope Francis theoretically approved with the section that says there is no such thing as a just war. And I hear you saying, and I think it's true, that the Vatican's saying that's true. It's just that it's not law in the church. It's not in the catechism, the canon law, or required teaching with the bishops around the world that they can't justify war. And that's why I think the encyclical would make the difference. Give me an update on all that or what you think of that.
Well, the conversation is alive and well.
That's great.
At the end of the conference in 2016, the statement in our appeal to the church that you were referring to that said there's no such thing as a just war, the church should stop teaching the just war tradition, the church just war theory. We realized that focusing on the just war tradition got a lot of pushback from moral theologians, from people who were committed to peace, but just said, you can't do that. We can't do without it. It's a useful theory. And we decided for a while to not focus on the just war theory, to not focus on the sort of debate between absolute pacifism and the just war tradition, mostly because it just felt like it was not going to be a fruitful discussion. Mm-hmm. And so the way we approached the conversation was to say there is another way, and it is called nonviolence, and it is being proven effective in many circumstances. I think people largely know the research done by Maria Stephan and Erica Chenoweth and others 13, 14 years ago, that demonstrated that nonviolent, that learning to use nonviolence in effective ways was more effective than using violent means, using war as a way to even accomplish a just change. Mm-hmm. And so we decided that what we were going to do, and that's what we've been doing for the last 10 years, is to say war is not only, not only can it not be just, but it's not usually effective, and the consequences of it are so overwhelmingly horrific. We have to focus on learning to use nonviolent strategies for dealing with threats and injustice. And so that conversation is still very alive. And we were very happy to see, we've been very happy to see Pope Francis not only move the just war tradition toward a back shelf, but also promote nonviolence. One of the things that he said that I just loved, it was just a little sentence in Fratelli Tutti that he said, "Let us arm our children with the weapons of dialogue. Let us teach them to fight the good fight with a culture of encounter." And I think when he says something that what he's saying is there is another whole way that we need to struggle for a more just and peaceful world, that we need to interrupt violence and prevent violence, and we can do it by nonviolence.
You've seen Pope Francis grow and blossom in his teachings. I wonder if you could say a word about any thoughts or reflections you have on him per se. So he's been churning out books, and for those who haven't heard Zooms on the Beatitude Center, I had Marie on last year just to talk about one of the Pope's many new books, a little book called Against War. And it's all his statements against war, and it's kind of shocking when you put it all together. We've never had a Pope like that in history. What do you think, Marie, and where do you – would you agree?
I do agree. And he is not only speaking out consistently about war theoretically, he's also speaking out about war in response to the wars that we see raging in so many places around the world. When he can, he physically moves himself to a place where he can be heard more clearly. And he offers a vision of another way. And I think he has done that consistently. So against his little book, Against War, to me is just this beautiful companion to his little book, Let Us Dream, that lays out another way of being. What we're talking about and what I think Pope Francis is leading us to is a paradigm shift in the way we are moving through life, through the world. And I think that's the reason why we believe that why the Catholic Nonviolence Initiative exists, to try to move nonviolence to the center of Catholic Church teaching, because we believe that the Church could make such a huge contribution to the world. We're, mm-hmm. 1.3 billion people, more or less. The Church has universities, schools, parishes, diplomats in almost every country, and on, that could carry a message that nonviolence is from the heart of the gospel, nonviolence works, and we can learn how to be nonviolent people.
Let me ask you about the nonviolence then. Thank you. So I want you to continue on that line, if you wouldn't mind, because you've been talking about nonviolence for a long time, but I've seen your thinking evolve. How do you understand nonviolence today? And especially as, it's not passivity, but as a power to confront and disarm. You're saying that the Church could be such a force of nonviolence. And and why this word? I want the Pope to be using it all the time, because words like encounter and dialogue are beautiful. But it's got to be a nonviolent dialogue and a nonviolent encounter.
Yeah, I agree with you, John. I think using the language of nonviolence is really important, because it it challenges us to a new way of thinking in a way that other words that carry a lot of meaning but are softer or are less challenging don't do. So I agree. I think nonviolence needs to be a word that we use a lot. I think of nonviolence as I said, a spirituality. It's a way of being. It's who we become. It's a set of tools that we can use, a very broad spectrum of tools that we can use to prevent violence, interrupt violence, build a more just and peaceful world, and everything from nonviolent communication that helps us communicate with each other. We certainly need that in our country right now, to specific tools like bystander intervention and de-escalation and tools that help us know how to move into a context, a situation that is approaching violence and interrupt it, help it to de-escalate, a set of tools that give us new ways of thinking about defense. One of the big questions that came out of the synod process, and I just have to, as a footnote, say that the synodal process that Pope Francis has led the church into is itself a nonviolent process that is built around nonviolent communication. But the challenge that came out of the first synod conference 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, was to say, well, what do you do about legitimate defense? How do you think about legitimate defense without violence? But the reality is that there are many ways to imagine a nonviolent strategy for defense. And hopefully we will invest enough in that, in learning how to use it, that we won't end up resorting to weapons every time there's a crisis. And I think that Pope Francis has just done a really, really good job of repeatedly lifting up those possibilities. And it's enhanced my understanding of nonviolence as well, that it's not only a tool. It's not, you know, it's what the one hand of I will interrupt the violence, and I will, with my other hand, reach out to the perpetrator of the violence to see how we can sustain a relationship. We know that it is both negative, it interrupts violence, and it promotes a new way of being, a more just society, a more peaceful society. So nonviolence, what I think I've been discovering and what I think is important for us to sort of wrap our arms around more and more, is that nonviolence is a tremendous concept. It's rich and deep, and that I think for each of us, it's worth the trouble to learn about nonviolence, to take a course in nonviolence, sign up for one of the many different webinars that are being offered now by Pax Christi for sure, but also by Pace Bene, by the Beatitude Center, by the Meta Center on Nonviolence, and on and on and on. Different centers that are of thought, where people are looking at what seem like intractable violence and proposing ways to approach them in different ways. A great place to look at it is in the Middle East, in the Holy Land, where people, Palestinians, have been practicing nonviolence for 70 years. We need to learn from them.
One last question about Jesus. Marie, as you were talking, I just wanted to say too, this, which I always mention, and it's almost stupid, but to say nonviolence has this bottom line, that we got to get rid of our guns and quit the military, right, and stop being violent to the people around us, and you can't be actually involved in the culture of war. Marie, I was hearing confessions this weekend at a Latino youth Catholic retreat, hundreds of kids, and it was beautiful, run by youth. And the stories, Marie, I have guns. I'm robbing people. I rely on my guns. I think that might be wrong. And it was grieving. And I think that, you know, I was encouraging nonviolence, but that's why I keep talking about the nonviolent Jesus and call this the Nonviolent Jesus podcast, that in the end, you and I can talk and try to teach this, but fundamentally, if we're followers of Jesus, and if Gandhi's right that he's the epitome of nonviolence, then he's our model for nonviolent living and how to create a more nonviolent world. So we've been friends almost 40 years, Marie, and I've seen you develop. What are your, here's my question, I wrote it down. What are you, any, this would be the last question. Any key aspects, moments, teachings, scenes from the life of Jesus that deepen and inspire nonviolence from you, from his nonviolent life? Mm-hmm. And from that, any suggestions or advice or hopes you have for people listening?
Oh, absolutely. I think that I actually was captured by Terence Wren's book on Jesus Peacemaker, that where he, Terry, goes into a great description of the level of violence that was present in Palestine during the years when Jesus was, right before he was alive and during his life. And I think that understanding that really made, for some reason, made a very big difference to me, that that sort of sense that he was living in a very violent time. And as Terry says, the sort of assumption was that the options in response to the violence were either fight or flight or accommodate. And Jesus said, no, there's a completely a different direction in which we need to go. And it's to build the an inclusive community that is nonviolent. And I think that that his way of living that out, of teaching it, of sort of constantly, Jesus' way of constantly inviting us to be more imaginative in the way we deal with crises. And then the way he practiced it himself. I mean, he, as Terry says, he didn't have any enemies, not Roman officials. He healed the Roman officer's servant, not the Samaritans. He celebrated that traditional enemy of the Jews as an embodiment of charity in the parable of the Good Samaritan, not the Pharisees who went out of their way to trap and humiliate him, as Terry says. And he lived that way consistently all the way to the cross. So for me, Jesus on the cross is the ultimate witness to nonviolence that speaks, it says everything to me. So I think that we who claim to follow Jesus need to figure out what that means in our times. What does it look like in this 21st century, and how do we learn to do it? And I think that's maybe one other thought and that I want to share, and that is that I believe that nonviolence takes practice, that it takes that we need to study nonviolence, we need to try to understand what it means at a very personal and interpersonal level, but we also need to practice that third way. How do we move in a world where the violence is so overwhelming? And part of it is changing what's happening in front of our eyes. And part of it is looking at the root causes. Where is this violence coming from? And that's part of the challenge of being nonviolent.
Wow, that's so beautiful and encouraging. Thank you. Thank you so much, Marie Dennis, for speaking with me today and sharing all this wisdom and encouragement. And thank you, friends, for listening to the Nonviolent Jesus podcast. You can hear more podcasts and find other upcoming Zoom programs at www.beatitudecenter.org. And please consider offering a donation to support this free work. And if you can, please leave some positive feedback or review at NCR or Apple or Spotify or wherever platform you're using. Join me next week for my conversation with theologian and scripture scholar Brian McLaren on the topic of following the nonviolent Jesus in a time of rising authoritarianism. May the God of peace bless everyone. Keep on following the nonviolent Jesus. See you next time.